Now, what day was it? Wednesday, I think we spoke to Emma Reynolds, director of the Phil Lynott documentary, which is in cinemas tonight, Songs for While I'm Away, it's called. And we mentioned a picture of a very young Phil from 1965 that was sent in to us by Michael O'Flanagan. And we decided that we'd get on to Michael and find out more about the photograph. And Michael is on the line. How are you doing, Michael?
How are you doing, Ray? Yeah.
Good to talk to you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me on the show. It's a great privilege to be there, to be on the show. I'd like to take a moment to thank Professor Kieran Bulger of Beaumont Hospital, who performed a miraculous operation on my neck 2 weeks ago.
Oh.
And that's unfortunately one of the reasons why I can't come into the studio to you today.
How are you? How are you?
I'm recovering very well. He's restored the power to my leg, so I'm able to walk, and the shadow of a wheelchair has been chased away.
Brilliant. That's great news, Michael.
The staff in Beaumont were fantastic, and Professor Bulger is world-class.
Oh, well, that's well worth saying. Well worth saying.
Yeah.
Now, can we bring you
the
back
photograph,
to... Yeah, 1965, Crumlin. You and Philip Lynott, and you say Lynott and not Lynott.
So, we all say Lynott. Yeah.
Okay. So it's an amazing photograph. There he is.
He's holding, you will see in that photograph, yeah, he's holding my tripod.
Aha.
That's what he has in his hand, the tripod.
And what age were you in 1965, Michael?
I was 17 and Philip was 16.
Right. And when did you first meet him?
I met him. We used to go to a dance hall called the Moran Hall in Walkinstown, and the Black Eagles was the name of Philip's band at the time, and it was the most popular band.
Right.
And I brought my camera to the dance.
Yeah.
Now, that was a very bizarre thing to do in those days. And not everybody had cameras, but I had a...
Well, few people had cameras, I'd say, and even less, yes, brought them to the dances. That wasn't the dumb thing.
Well, some people wouldn't let you take a photograph in the dance hall anyway.
Yeah.
But anyway, I took the photographs, and at the interval, they used to have an interval so the band can have a bottle of Ordinary or something. And Philip came down to me and asked me to bring... Could he have copies of the photographs?
Right.
And he invited me down to his house in Legging Road in Crumlin. And myself and my good friend Frank Murray went down there, and we made friends with Philip, close friends, and we were friends with him more or less for the rest of his life.
Ah, right.
Yeah. So then I went on from there to work with... I made movie films. I made a movie film in the same day as I took that particular photograph, and it's available. You can see it on YouTube.
Not only had you got a stills camera, which I had, was it an 8mm or a 16mm camera?
No, it was an 8mm cine camera, but it used 16mm film.
Okay.
And they used to splice the film in halves, and it turned it back into 8mm, and you could show that on a projector in your house.
Okay. And this was you were way ahead of yourself and ahead of the time. And Phil Lynott, he obviously saw in you an opportunity to get obviously photographed and filmed, because he was looking at people like the Beatles at the time, and they were, you know, A Hard Day's Night
That's
had been released.
Right.
Yeah.
When we made that particular little film, Philip wanted to direct the film.
Right.
And he used all the tricks that were used in the film A Hard Day's Night. The lads walking along the street, fighting and all sorts of things.
Messing,
all
yeah.
little tricks that were used to illustrate the film A Hard Day's Night by the Beatles. And we made films up in the mountains. We made films in all the dance halls. The Moulin Rouge, we made films in the Go-Go Club. And Philip used to go to the Go-Go Club, you know.
What are your memories of the young Philip Lynott? So he was just a teenager when you met him.
Well, people, actually, Emer, fair play to Emer Reynolds on the film. She brought out the fact that he was genuinely shy.
Yeah.
Philip was genuinely a shy person. He turned into something else when he got on stage. But actually, he was a shy and modest person. But he had a great sense of style. And he didn't follow other fashions. He chose his own style of dress and everything. And he had tremendous charm and rapport with the audience when he got up in front of an audience.
I was reading your book, Michael, The Importance of Fruit. Which is a memoir, and I'm going to talk to you again. When you get a bit better, you might come into us, because you're such an interesting man who's led such an interesting life. But I'm struck by the fact that, like, he seemed to have this mesmerizing effect on people. Philip Lynn, is this as if he cast a spell on them?
Well, he had enormous height, and of course he was practically the only. There was only one other black chap in Dublin at the time. He was also
signed, in all of Dublin.
Yeah. And you will see in my book where I said that Philip got great fun out of the fact that he was black at the time, because when he'd get on a bus, children would look at him and say, mommy, there's a black man.
Yeah.
Now he did not take offence at that, and he never complained about racism or anything like that. As I say, when I told him I was going to make the film, he asked me would it be in colour or black and white, and I said, oh, it'll be in colour, thinking to impress him, and he said, I come out better in black and white.
He looked better in black and white.
Philip said, I come out better in black and white, because he had a sense of humour, and he was self-effacing, actually.
Yeah.
Philip was, to describe him, you could say he was self-effacing when he was in company.
Yeah.
If in company with a lot of people, Philip wouldn't be the one that would be doing all the talking. He'd be doing the listening, though.
So some of your footage is in Emer's documentary, which is...
Oh, that's right, yes, yeah. The stuff that we shot down in Crumlin Village at the police station, where they had... That police station was demolished since... And they walk along a little row of cottages called Somerville Avenue, which is was behind the police station in Crumlin. And, of course, the most important thing to say about Philip, from my point of view, would be he was so proud to be from Crumlin. And he loved the people of Crumlin. And nobody had any money or anything like that. But the people were lovely, and he got on very well with them all.
Yeah, and in the interviews, you see, he had that love affair with Dublin and with Crumlin. And there's a poor girl who was interviewing him in America, I think, and she referred to him as British. And he corrects her, and then she says, "Well, you sort of act British." And then he got really annoyed with her. Then the poor girl, he didn't like that at all. Listen, Michael, we'll make a date when you're better, when you're fully recovered. You'll come in, and we'll have a longer chat.
It's a great privilege being on your show. You have a lovely show, a lovely friendly show, Ray, and it's very enjoyable to listen to.
Okay, so you'll come in to us anyway. You will.
I will do.
Brilliant.
When it suits you.
For the moment, stay safe. Thanks, Michael. Mind yourself. See you now. Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.